Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. And if you have never heard of my show, you can head over to the show blog. I've actually been doing the show since 2011. I cannot believe it. And I have pretty much every guest I've ever had on the show on that show blog. And it's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And if you're not familiar with KUCI, you can visit our website, kuci.org. We have an incredible, eclectic mix of public affairs and music shows and incredible talent behind it. So I want to introduce my first guest, Jay Silverman. He's been on my show before, and his new film is out, Camera, and it stars Beau Bridges. It is fantastic. It's receiving a lot of rave reviews, and it centers around a young mute boy who uses an old film camera to express his point of view with the help of his eccentric mentor, Beau Bridges. And Jay is standing by to join us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Jay, you did it again. I mean, you keep producing these films. This one is so meaningful on so many levels. I want to start off by asking, how did the idea of this film come about? Is this kind of your backstory as well integrated into it?
Well, yes, and at the same time, I have to credit the original writer, Jamie Murphy, who's from Ireland, who originated the script, Camera, mm-hmm. and, of course, Bethany Serona, who's my producer, who discovered the script, and then together we, I think, worked as a team to essentially create what you saw. But I'm not going to lie, being a photographer for 35 years of my career,
yes,
I had a certain interest in this subject matter, and I couldn't wait to make this one.
Yeah. Well, I remember first meeting you years ago, and I saw all the old cameras in your office, right? You had a whole bunch
right.
of them?
Yeah.
And I was just telling you, before my dad passed away, he wanted to make sure I had all of his dad's cameras. And in the film, I thought, oh, wait a minute, I think I have that one. And I felt like you did integrate your love of photography into this.
You know, it's so important, you know. I mean, even ironically in the film, you know, not unlike your father passing them on to you, whether you wanted them or not, you inherited them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've got them all over my office. And kind of ironically, the motivation for my entire movie was predominantly motivated by this idea that there's mentorship is probably the reason I succeeded in my career, and I give a lot of credit to my mentors for just exactly that purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But it's pretty essential, and I know your audience probably has an interest in filmmaking as well as watching a movie.
Right.
But when you go to make a movie as a filmmaker, one of the most attractive aspects of it is are areas that either you have no understanding or things you have great understanding. And both Beau Bridges and myself spend a great deal of our motivation talking about our mentors. In Beau's case, it was his father, and it was also a guy named John Wooden, who was probably one of the best coaches in America at UCLA.
Yes.
And in my case, it was a gentleman by the name of Warren King in a small little Los Angeles district high school in Reseda.
That's great. I love that. I was going to ask you who your mentor was, because you mentioned it in the, I think it was the featurette on
correct,
jsilvermanproductions.com /camera. And I thought, I wonder who that was.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was so fortunate to go to a high school where my photography instructor, which is rare in itself, having a photography department. This was in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and subsequently having a professor or a photographer that had connectivity with an industry, which to me is, you know, an essential part of what a mentor does. He brings his life experiences to his students.
Yes.
And in my case, he brought in famous Life magazine and National Geographic photographers to talk to, you know, his 15, 16-year-olds in high school. And I was one of the lucky ones that just was drawn to hear the stories and understand what it took to make the pictures. And in my case, you know, I was lucky enough to, you know, really dig deep and get a mentorship at 15 years old with one of these guys.
Amazing. Did your mentor ever have a chance to see what you went on to do?
Yes, definitely. Aww. Yeah, he passed away about 5 years ago, but he was, yeah, you know, it's interesting in life. I had a screening last night of my film in Santa Monica, and you know, the the individual who was monetating the screening after a Q&A said, you know, why did you make this movie? Mm-hmm. You know, it clearly isn't designed to attract big names in respect to box office and so forth. It's just an emotionally charged story about a young man and an older man and how they help one another, you know, fill in the empty spaces that human beings have when they're challenged.
And, yes.
And the character Eric, which is played by Beau Bridges, you know, his character has lost a son tragically and his wife passed away. Mm-hmm. And in the young kid's case, his father had passed away and his mother was a widower. And, you know, how do you manage, you know, navigating life? And on top of it, the protagonist, which is a boy named Oscar, finds himself in a situation where he's unable to speak because of a birth challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He was born 3 months premature. And what you end up with is how he struggles in this small little fishing village, gets bullied, and people don't really show him much regard. Yeah. And then one day he meets Eric, and the mentorship begins, but not in the way one would think. And that's
yes.
What's kind of exciting.
Oh, it was fantastic. Did you deviate at all from the script? Like as you were filming, I'm sure you have these little moments of, let's try this.
Well, I have to say this. Jamie Murphy, who wrote the original script, and Joe Gamache, who works for me in Hollywood, collaborated with myself and Bethany, my producer, to produce what you witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And much of it was complemented by Americanizing it, because it was written kind of like for an Irish family.
Okay.
That's number one. And number two, you know, I mean, even the writer would be the first to admit he doesn't know anything about photography,
yeah.
Although he's enamored by it and he wrote about it with passion.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, you know, I was able to fill in the spaces of, you know, what actually was feasible and what actually happens in real life. So,
yeah. One of the things I said to you is that it's such a powerful intergenerational film. And several years ago, and I haven't spoken to you in a long time, but I was fortunate to get a fellowship with the Columbia Age Boom Academy, and we studied intergenerational research. And people that are older are referred to as human capital. And we actually in our society, we tend to take that for granted. So in the pandemic, when older generations were pushed to safety, they became depressed and lonely. But when you connect generations, beautiful moments and beautiful things happen.
Yeah, it's to me, you know, and I think it's pretty profound to recognize this. I've got three daughters, and in as much as I spend a great deal of my time talking about mentorships, it's in my words, it's impractical to think that a parent can be a mentor at the level that the character was in the movie.
Right.
Because they got your number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And interestingly enough, one of my daughters is a chef, and she had a mentor. You know, my other two daughters are just beginning to kind of like uncover what the meaning of that is. Mm-hmm. But that's my hope, you know, that they find people that they kind of want to be like.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough at 15 years old, believe it or not, when I was going to high school to go, I think I want to be a photographer.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me what you're hearing about the film, and when did you start screening it?
Well, we screened it. I think the movie comes out next Tuesday, the 23rd of July. And you could find it on Amazon and as well as Apple and all the other services that offer new movies. But I think what's super important is the feedback we're getting is, you know, it's funny. I'm standing in the lobby last night waiting for the screening, and it's the last screening we're going to do before the movie comes out. And,
okay.
And two people come in, and they said, "We're sorry, we're a little early." I go, "Where'd you guys come from?" And they said, "We came from Santa Clarita. We drove two and a half hours to the screening." And I go, "Wow, do I know you?" I'm thinking, why would somebody do that for me?
Yes.
And I'm laughing, but at the same time so touched because they've seen the trailer and they were emotionally moved.
Yes.
Well, later to find out that their reason for coming to the movie was they have two challenged children of their own. And the movie features, as I know you know, a protagonist child that cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he's nonverbal. And essentially, you know, he's 150% there, understands everything, the world going on around him, except he just can't verbalize.
Yeah.
And to me, to hear that these people came just to see that kind of empathy and the idea that this child was able to formulate, and I say this in the press for the movie, but he used the camera as a communication device, and that's what makes the movie, in my opinion, so fulfilling, is the fact that his point of view is entirely different than both what you think it should be or you might predict it would be.
Yes. Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's being bullied and, you know, ridiculed by a community of people that really are unhappy.
Yeah. I also want to mention that some of the reviews I'm reading, and for those just tuning in, we're speaking with Jay Silverman about his latest film, Camera, which comes out next Tuesday. But on jaysilvermanproductions.com/camera, people are saying, "I loved it. These are the types of films we need right now. Everything about it was wonderful." And when I go to see a film, I mean, I particularly don't like violence. So watching all these trailers, either scary or violent, to watch something like this, I feel like we do need more feel-good, beautiful stories and where your messages are resonating with people that are struggling in some profound way.
It's a real interesting subject matter. I make my movies as a labor of love. I don't have people standing over me saying, "You better have more action on page 7.
Mm-hmm.
You better on page 10 have, you know, a huge car crash." You know, the way that the big companies operate, and I'm speaking about Netflix, Amazon, all these companies, you know, it's very formula-oriented, and they know, specifically with all the algorithms and so forth, exactly what the audience seems to like and what they seem not to like. And pretty much everybody that's seen this movie has said to me, "Boy, I wish there were more films like this."
Right. Yes.
Because, you know what, I don't think, and this isn't meant to preach, but I don't think there's enough content out there currently that you're aware of if you click on any of the big streaming services that isn't anything but formulaic, you know?
I agree.
And to me, stories that touch human beings, you know, are, I guess, you know, they're not the kind that, you know, these companies want to produce. And it excites me that I was able to touch people, and the movie hasn't even come out yet, that have come to the screening. And ironically, touch me in a way that typically I would have never expected. As an example, you know, people that are over 50 and 60 years old seem to just flip over the film's message, and actually it kind of motivates them to think about what maybe they could do.
Yes.
And I'll share this with you, because to me, the concept of, you know, I'd say the whole baby boomer generation has so much wisdom and such, you know, an incredible volume of human beings that are not being utilized by young people. They're just, I hate to say it, but the connectivity from my generation was you get a mentor. You know, you follow that person, and one day they pass the baton. Right. I just, you know, I wanted to make a movie that helped people see the importance of that.
Yes. No, you really do. And I actually studied screenwriting here at UCI, and I wrote in the pandemic a script called Finding Miss Katie, based on a mentor I had, a writing teacher when I was 15, and the relationship she has with a student. I put myself, my backstory, into the film. And I can see from what you've created here that the power of intergenerational characters and relationships, because that's what I did in my work. I can see what you did. It's so needed.
Thank you.
It's so needed. Yes. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. I mean, you know firsthand that, you know what. I mean, it's interesting. I saw a wonderful movie on Salinger with Kevin Spacey, which was made, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, and
okay.
You know, it's a mentorship, you know, a story.
Yes.
And it's so moving, because you know that there are certainly ups and downs in mentorships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the mentor tells you something you don't want to hear,
right?
And sometimes you get something from the mentor you could get from no one else,
right?
And they may not have anything to do with what you are there for.
Yes.
You know, so that's super exciting for me. And I'll tell you something. Beau Bridges and this young boy named Miguel Gabriel had such chemistry on screen, you know, and I'm not giving myself credit. I'm really not giving myself credit, because it's just I was lucky to have two brilliant actors perform the story.
So that's my next question. How did you cast Miguel?
It's an interesting story. Beth Holmes, who's our casting agent, found this entire project took place post, right around the time that the pandemic was still going and the castings weren't legal by SAG. So we had to cast the movie, you know, on Zoom. And we got, I don't know, somewhere around 500-600 submissions from around the country to play this little child, believe it or not. And after the casting agent weeded it down, we ended up having 10 young kids come into the studio. And I, you know, I have to say, you know, this kid was a standout.
Yes. Yeah, I can see why.
And something else that's pretty interesting, and I'll share this because I think it's a crucial piece of filmmaking behind-the-scenes story, but when you cast a movie with a child that's pretty much in every scene, there's one thing that few people will ever tell you, and that is you have to cast the parents as well.
True.
Because they could sabotage the entire project. And
yeah.
we were very fortunate to have a young child and a his mother, who not only condoned the project, but is, you know, a fighting force to support the project. And to me, that was just pure gold.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. And he has an interesting backstory of having a disability, right? A speech impediment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. The young child, Miguel, when he was younger, had significant speech issues and had to go to doctors and therapists to overcome them. He was being bullied when he was a young kid because of those attributes, and subsequently, you know, he was able to see what the protagonist sees in the film and kind of internalize that and bring it to the party. And it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, like I say, yeah, don't give me any credit for his performance, because this kid's a natural.
I was really blown away. Has he been in a lot of productions before? Because
this is his first feature as a leading actor.
Wow.
He's been in a number of Disney projects with animation.
I could see. Okay. Oh, animation. Well, what a talent, because you could just study acting by watching him, all of his nonverbal, you know, whoa.
You know, it's so unbelievable, because I'm saying this to you as a director that is mesmerized. I'll be blunt. You know, there's that scene in the movie where they're both in the dark room and they're investigating how to essentially analyze the photography that the young boy did.
Yes.
And he doesn't say a word for the entire five-minute scene. And Beau Bridges is talking to him compassionately and sometimes with a little humor and, more significantly, with complex story.
Yeah.
And this little kid, I swear to you, you know, I come from a career of shooting commercials, okay? And I tell this story because it relates directly. Frequently, you know, you're shooting a commercial for Budweiser. They bring in the talent that's perfect for the part, and all the talent has to say is, wow, this tastes great. And they do that perfectly. The client chooses, not the director, who's going to be shot. And then on the day, they said, you know, we don't want him to say that. We want him to say something else. The guy can't do it, you see? And all he's got is one line.
Right.
And I'm not being critical. I'm just explaining the different mediums, because in this medium, what we've got here is a child that is showing things that I could never tell him to do. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for the compliment to him, because the honest truth of it is he doesn't say a word, but he tells a story like you can't even believe.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. And when I watched the featurette, I thought, wait a minute, did you just say this is your first feature? I mean, he has such skill. He's not overacting. His expressions are so natural, and he just tells the whole story through his eyes.
It is truly remarkable.
Yeah.
But I do give a lot of credit to Michelle, his mother, because we would have rehearsals on Zoom, and I would give them notes. And, you know, in one of the cases, I said, you know, you got to take it back. It's way too broad.
Yeah.
And the mother would be the one that helped him and his. He was lucky enough to have an acting coach. And the acting coach, she was brilliant, and next thing I see him, it's like that subject's no longer even on the table.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he just lit up the screen. And you said his relationship with Beau was outstanding. And it's a beautiful story. I don't want to give too much away. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with about the film?
Well, I think, you know, it's super exciting for me to share this movie for a multitude of reasons, one being the stuff we've just talked about. I think it's if you're giving me an opportunity to say this, you know, number one, the cinematographer, Andrew Jarrett, knocked it out of the park. I'm a photographer my whole career.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that took my vision and implemented it with such taste and with such grace that, I mean, there's no filmmaker that wouldn't be proud to brag about his cinematographer.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with the editor. The same thing goes with the composer. Now, the composer, this is the fourth film I've done with him, and I'm sure you saw how the music was just magical.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yes.
We were fortunate enough to work with a live orchestra in Bulgaria, believe it or not.
Oh.
And, you know, little things like that all contribute to the pot of people passionately working on a project they believed in. And that's all I wanted to say was, you know, it's not an accident that you have a lot of things working towards the same goal, if you hire people that want to be there versus they're there for other reasons.
Sure. By the way, where was it shot, and where was the casting done? On Zoom for everyone from all over?
No, most of the casting it was done in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And the story about where the movie takes place is interesting because I scouted Nova Scotia. We were going to shoot the movie in Ireland originally, and then we went to Boston, and we were looking for, you know, the perfect kind of rundown fishing village that still had just, you know, remarkable charm. And we ended up, thank God, going to a place local, even though it was Morro Bay in
Northern California.
Northern California.
Yeah.
But primarily, the movie was shot in Los Angeles and the back lot in Santa Clarita, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Actually, you'll appreciate this. The fishing village was actually the same location used in the movie Thor, old Western town.
Okay.
And we turned it into a fishing village.
Oh, I love it. It could have been like Alaska or some place in Connecticut or,
right.
You know, it had that feeling. You really captured it so well.
Well, thank you so much.
So, again, the film comes out July 23rd, which is next week. And if people want more information about the film, is there a website? I know you've got social.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to go is just go to jsilvermanproductions.com, and you'll see that being the first subject to look at camera. And also, obviously, I mentioned that you can purchase it right now on Apple TV.
Okay.
or on Tuesday on Amazon and all those other wonderful places that you can buy movies. And just keep in mind, you know, the one aspect of this that's so important is there's nobody that worked on this movie that did it for any other reason than to give back. And I think it shows so much in the storytelling that most people, and I mean this with really no exception, you know, making movies are incredibly a challenge now in 2024.
Sure.
And this is an independent film that was made in 18 days.
What? So, 18 days?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Whoa,
yeah.
Jay. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We talked about that last night when Bruce Davidson was telling a story about his last movie. He had seven lines, and it was 7 months in Africa.
Oh my God!
Just to give you an illustration of how, you know, independent filmmaking is so such a differential.
So is this going to end up at a lot of the festivals? How does that work? What's your next step?
It's already gone through the festival circuit. It ran. It won three festivals. The Beverly Hills Film Festival won for Best Director. We won in Dubuque, Iowa. We won Best Feature. And we also won Best Feature in some other festival, I don't even recall.
I see.
But anyway.
So, as a slow film fest, and also
one
an international film festival.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm sure you're going to have many more accolades. So, congratulations.
Well,
this was a great film. And if people want to learn more, I know the socials are Camera the Movie on Instagram. There's also a YouTube channel, Camera the Movie. And again, you just need to go to jsilvermanproductions.com/camera. Jay, it's always great to have you on.
You made my day. Thank you so much. And
so
like
welcome.
I said, I got a haircut for this interview, and I'm glad to share it.
Well, when I see you, I'm going to bring the cameras. I'm going to gather up all my cameras and show them to you.
Okay.
So.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
All right.
Be
Thank
well.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Jay Silverman talking about his latest film, Camera. And he's been on my show before, way back when. If you visit my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, there's information about the latest film with Beau Bridges. And the cast is amazing. The boy who plays Oscar Miguel Gabriel is outstanding. And it's a wonderful film. Jay has over 40 years experience, and he's a director and a producer and photographer specializing in award-winning films, television, digital, and print. And again, all the information is on the show blog. So we're going to take a little break. If you want to find out about being a guest on my show, you can send me an email to Janine at J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can visit KUCI.org and see our entire mix of shows from public affairs to music shows. And you can follow our socials at KUCI-FM. All right, we'll take a break and then we'll be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.